Oh God, we thank you for this time. And Lord, I am just struck again with the scriptures and how, Lord, we're going to do this until you come. So it tells me, God, that you are coming again. That's what a great reminder. And on this resurrection day, we know that you are alive, your right hand of the Father, and someday you will come for your own. Lord, we pray that you would help us now in our remaining portion of our time. Would you help me? As we look at the scriptures and seek to understand what your Spirit is telling the church today. Open our eyes that we may see it. Lord, strengthen our will that we may do it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in 1 John chapter 5. And I, last time, kind of cut short I just didn't make it. The message on prayer that we were looking at in chapter 5. So 1 John chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15. It is passages such as these that will sometimes cause confusion, and yet in others, it will cause great excitement. And so I'm praying that God would help us understand it, that we truly will understand the joy that is being expressed, or that is ours through the truth that is being expressed here. Well, 1 John chapter 5, and we'll pick it up in verse 13. We read, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, as you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Well, the subject is prayer, clearly. So what is John saying? John wants his church, these churches, God's church, to understand how to pray. And to understand that there is a posture, a position in praying that we can operate with great confidence if we do it according to God's will. We talked about the fact of God hearing last time. That is, he hears us. And we got to start there. That really the Almighty God of this world, the Creator, actually hears us. And you gotta start there, that's even a possibility, let alone its reality, as expressed here, that God hears us. We talked about what that means as John uses that verb, hears. We could say that if God hears us, then what we communicate to him is something he understands fully and that is not ignored. We then moved to the nature of our asking. So the fact of God hearing is he hears. The nature of our asking is that it is to be according to his will. According to his will. Now in this phraseology, this puts us in a position of submission, doesn't it? It demands that as we pray and understand our relationship with God, that he has a divine sovereign will, and that we ought to be in submission to that. That's the right posture for us as believers. We read in the text, and this is the confidence, verse 14, that we have in Him. And so John is just encouraging us. This is confidence concerning Christ. It's about Christ. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We talked about what God's will is, His expressed desire, His expectations defined, the roadmap to His pleasure, were a couple things that I used to help define God's will. And we talked about God's will is communicated to us through His Word. Now in the Old Testament, God expressed His will through the prophets who spoke for God to the people. Today, we have God's Word, and God's Word is God's will. I mentioned three things to pay attention to if you're wondering about what is God's will. Pay attention to God's teachings and His commands. The things that God teaches and the things that He commands in His Word, they are His will. Pay attention to Jesus' life. And the way that Jesus lived would be the will of us, that we follow in His footsteps and follow His example. We pay attention to those things that bring God pleasure. And the Word of God expresses those things that cause God to be pleased. And this would be God's will. When we left off, I had shared that I went on a little journey through the Scriptures. This is not exhaustive by any stretch, but this was a little exercise where I looked for what was God's will as expressed in the Scriptures. And so I want to take you on this journey with me tonight as we seek to understand if we're going to pray according to God's will, then we really need to understand what His will is. I mean, that is the obvious understanding of it. And so, we're going to look at a few things tonight and just seek to build up our understanding of God's will. Now remember, folks, remember that this is putting us, we are in a position of submission. I know I'm repeating myself, but I know this is a hard place for some of us to be sometimes. Especially when things aren't going our way. Right? Especially when they're not making sense. All right, so go to Romans chapter 2. And in Romans chapter 2, we see that God's will was the law. And this is for the Jewish people especially, but look at chapter 2, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And so we saw for the Jewish people, they knew God's will, because it was expressed in God's law. And boy, we know that they came face to face with the reality that they couldn't keep it. They couldn't keep it in all of its perfection. But what we see here is God expressed His will to His people. He gave it to them. At the beginning of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians and 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn to all those, but we see that God's will is what He has already done. Why do I say that? Because the Apostle Paul makes the expression that here I am, an apostle through the will of God. And so we see that he was made an apostle, and this was something that had already happened. But he is recognizing it as something that had already been done, and we see this as God's will. The book of Ephesians is helpful for us in understanding that God's will is His good pleasure. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." And so we're understanding that God's will has a lot to do with what pleases God. Look at verse 9 of Ephesians 1. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." We see that God has made known unto us His will. And so there's this mystery that in Ephesians is being revealed. We see in verses 11 and 12, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." Wow. We can understand that God's will is that which brings great pleasure to our God. Of course, if we're going to say that, then we're going to need to know God. This is why so often us preachers will encourage all of us to spend time in God's Word. As you get to know God, you'll get to understand His character and what will be pleasing to Him. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, we read, verse 17, "Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." We see that God's will is God's wisdom, and it is meant to be understood. God's will is not just this mysterious thing that's out there, but it's God wants us to understand it. It is something that can be understood. Now, it's understood to the extent that God has revealed it. But hey, He's God, we're not. So we're going to play by His rules. But we can understand Him and His will. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 says a similar thing. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He's praying this for the Colossian church, that they'll get this, that they'll understand God's will. Ephesians 6:6. Context is writing here to servants to be obedient to their masters. In verse 6, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." And we're understanding here that God's will is something that is meant to be obeyed, but it's something that is to be obeyed from the heart. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and again, this is just a broad stroke, by no mere detailed explanations, but First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God." Now, this is pretty clear, right? "Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." That's pretty clear. It's God's will that believers are sanctified, that we should abstain from fornication, sexual immorality. So if we're a believer and we're excusing sexual immorality in our life, we know we're out of line. It's no question. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Well, here again, if we're going to be praying according to God's will, we're going to be praying with an attitude of gratitude, right? In everything, give thanks. Because, hey, this is God's will. Are you getting a sense of, you know what? I can do this. Because God has expressed in His Word what brings Him glory, brings Him pleasure. And this will build in your heart and your mind. And as you go and you pray, these things will come to mind and you can pray according to these things. You can pray with great confidence. Say you are you have a brother, Christian brother, who's going away on a business trip. You can pray with great confidence, oh God, keep him from immorality. Because you know that's God's will for your brother. That's the kind of petitions God would want you to have. Then we go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10, we read, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God's will is our sanctification through the offering of Jesus Christ once for all. Boy, as we pray that this sanctification is reality in our lives and in the lives of others around us. And again, it's through Jesus. Don't miss that. Hebrews 13, a similar explanation as was in Ephesians, but it's worth looking at. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, you are seeing God's will is that which is well-pleasing in His sight, and it is through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter, written to suffering believers, and so we should not be surprised what we read here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, context of submitting to your authorities. In verse 14, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. God's will is that with well-doing we may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as servants of God. Oh God, may these foolish men be silenced as I seek to live as your servant. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, we see God's will includes suffering for some. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So suffering, it could be the will of God for some of us. That is for well-doing, not for doing evil. There's no compassion here for those moments when you have a lapse in integrity and steal. and then sit in a prison, but for the well-doing. But God's will includes suffering for some. Chapter 4, verse 19 says the similar thing. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. So suffering may be in the future for some of us. And may we commit our souls to His keeping and be faithful to Him. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. We read, well, let's start at verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. We see God's wills contrasted to the lusts of men. Contrasts are helpful, aren't they? They help us understand things. So here we are, we're back to 1 John, and we have this confidence in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So the fact is that God hears. The nature of our asking is that it is according to His will. In verse 15 we read, and if we know that He hears us, so if we have this confidence that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So the fact is that God does hear. The nature of our asking is according to His will. So the result is God hears. This verse is a verse that takes a little bit to chew on here. Because this whatsoever we ask, I mean, we're like, wow, that's broad, isn't it? Is it? What does the context teach us about whatsoever we ask? This is a great example of the value of a context, right? Because you could take this verse by itself, pull it out, and you could really have a lot of fun with this. I am sure that this is a verse that some use to promote their doctrines of wealth and health. You'll pray it and you'll receive it. But understanding in our context, we understand the context is according to His will, because that gives us the confidence, because we know God's will. And so therefore, as we know God's will, we are then able to discern and understand what the petitions are that we have of Him, what they ought to be. Now, in this verse, what is being said is that John is helping them understand that you have the petitions that you desired of Him because you have asked according to His will, because God's will is being enacted in your life. It's exciting to think about our life right now is not a surprise to God. In fact, God knew all about this before the beginning of time. And indeed, really, in one sense, we're walking in God's will. We're living this. We're living it out. Now, I know that you could say, certainly, there are, when we walk in sin and choose to sin, that is not God's will. And I would agree with you, and we would say that because we know what God's will is, right? Because we have His Word. But we can look at our life, and we can discern and understand that God is at work. And it is exciting when we have the submissive posture of let your will be done. Now, this sounds very familiar, doesn't it, to our Lord Jesus? Well, how did he teach his disciples to pray? Lord, teach us to pray, was the question. What was his response? Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, it goes this way. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 2. So, here the Lord Jesus, as he's teaching his disciples to pray, is helping them not only by expressing the honor and glory that is due the Lord, and recognizing that, but recognizing their submissive posture under the divine will of God. And so as we pray, this is how we ought, this is our attitude. This is how we ought to pray. So the question that I have, or had as I went through this, well, a couple of questions. Like, what about our desires and delights that we have within us? Because in many senses, I'll say this for me. Maybe this is not true for you, but sometimes I feel like God's will is so general. And not defined, not specific for my life. And so I'll feel like I am limited in this box in my praying. Have you ever felt like that? I don't know, but I've felt like that. Because I if I'm going to pray according to God's will, now I readily understand and I recognize that I need to learn a lot more about what pleases God and His expressed desires, what His will really is. And that opens up for us this amazing discipline of prayer. But what about those desires and delights? Can I share them with the Lord? Can I talk to God about what I desire? Or does that not fit? Is that not something that's part of a joyous life of a believer that's in fellowship with God and the saints? Well, you look through the scriptures and you see people expressing their desires to the Lord. Jesus did so, didn't he? In the Garden of Gethsemane? I mean, here is God in human flesh. I mean, wrap your head around this one. Please take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Can you make sense of that? I mean, God the Son and God the Father, and I mean, just a beautiful expression of the humanity of Christ, the reality of what he was experiencing. Isaiah 53 tells us he was going to experience this, but his attitude is our example. He expressed it, but his attitude was, I submit to your will. So the ultimate, the captain, the general in charge, was God's will, not that of his own. Hannah. I thought of Hannah. She was barren. Oh, she longed for a child. So what did she do? She went and she prayed. You got to hear it. It's been a while probably since you've looked at Hannah. Maybe not, but listen to what she prays. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She was in bitterness of soul And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sorely. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your handmaid, but will give unto your handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, where's God's will in that? How does she know? Is she praying according to God's will? She did, didn't she? Yes, she did. But she didn't know that God's will was that God would open her womb. He did. He did. But it helps me understand. I can express these desires to the Lord, but you know what? I got to have the right posture that it's according to His will that I must operate. You think of, you know, King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20, he prayed seeking deliverance from this vast enemy. God spoke through a prophet and said, you will be delivered. But Jehoshaphat prayed, just God, deliver us. I desire to be delivered for your people. Now Jehoshaphat was coming from a good standpoint because he was a righteous king. He had done much to bring about a change in the people. And so he had a right posture. And so he was praying that God would deliver them. And God spoke through the prophet and said, you will be delivered. And Jehoshaphat had such confidence in the expressed will of God through the prophet that he sent out a choir in front of the army. Man! See, that's exciting. Because here God's expressed his will through the prophet and the man believed. And they sang and watched God do the work. Well, as we think about praying, we want to be people that pray fervently and effectively. When we gather for prayer meetings, we want to pray understanding this truth. Let's pray according to God's will, and let's pray with that posture in mind. I submit to you and to your will. I really think this is strategic. This is really a solid, good use of time with God and in the fellowship of God's people. I tell you, as I have grown and learned in my spiritual walk and about prayer, I've really come to think more deeply about the words that come out of my mouth that I call prayer. And I really think deeply when I pray for you and other people. And I don't just ask for certain things off of a whim, but I seek to pray according to what I know God's will is. Couple small examples. If I am praying for an individual who does not know Christ, should I? How do you know? Because I have God's word that says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I could pray this. Now, I pray this because I have God's word and I can pray with confidence, understanding that God is drawing my heart to pray for them. Now, does everybody that I pray for come to know the Lord? I don't think so. I have to think about that. But I'm praying according to God's expressed will and His word. I know that's a wise use of time. What about as I pray for my fellow brothers in Christ? One of the things I pray for you is that you walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That you would be people that express the fruit of the Spirit in all of its fullness. How do I know that to be true. It's in the scriptures. It's clear for believers. And if you're a believer, then this is for you. And I could pray that. When people have specific requests for example, safety in travel, I'm going to tell you that I don't know that it's God's will that we always have safety in travel. I don't know that. Now, I certainly can pray that. But God has helped me also to, you know, that would be a desire. If your will be, Lord, please guide them safely to their destination. But this is one thing I do know. God, give them wisdom as they encounter whatever they encounter in their journey. Give them the wisdom to handle it. And I can pray with confidence that. Because if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And we know that God gives wisdom. What about for circumstances? God? Persecuted church is not asking for persecution to be removed. They're asking for endurance. Why? Because God's will is that we learn and grow through tribulation. James chapter 1. Now, can we pray for them to be delivered? Sure. But we don't know that to be God's will except for delivered to eternity, which is the ultimate deliverance. So here's the challenge tonight. Seek to be strategic in your praying. Why? Because there's a great confidence as you or as a brother or sister, as you pray, when you know you're praying according to God's will. And you can walk with that confidence and you can know that you're being effective and praying strategically. Have the posture that it's God's will that is supreme. And submit your own to that. God, thank you for this passage. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in our praying. Because, Lord, I know it's your will that we pray because you've commanded us to do so. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be effective and fervent. I pray, Lord, that as your people, as we go from this place, that the light, the glorious gospel would shine forth through us. In Jesus' name, amen.